Welcome to the Journeyman Cave, a podcast where we meet and chat with some of boxing's most seasoned road warriors, hosted by Mark Shakespeare and Chris Scarfe.
Welcome back to the Journeyman Cave, everybody, for round 20. In us 20s now, Mr. Shakespeare, how are you doing?
I never thought we'd get this far.
Did you not?
Now.
I think I did.
You did? You always said
yeah,
so.
I think, there's plenty more to come as well. Mm. So what we got this week?
We've got Miles Newton this week, mate.
Miles Newton Willington.
The Conservative MP.
I can't believe you grassed me up on that. You swine.
Well, he's from Grantham and all. We had to get it in, didn't we?
He took it well.
He did. Thankfully.
I'm not going to. Yeah, he's a big lad. He's Miles.
He's a unit.
Yeah, I think he's only the second boxer we've had that's been taller than me. Mm.
Well, he's one definitely. Well, I'm looking forward to getting in today because he's one of the, like you said, big heavyweight guys, and he went in with some bangers. And I always think the higher up the weights you go, the harder it becomes because, you know, they eat harder, don't they?
Yeah, not half.
And to do what he did for them few years in his fights, it's not to be ashamed on him. I were glad to get him on. It's his first real, like, heavyweight slash one we've had on, isn't it, really? Because you don't get many, do you?
Well, like you say, is that the first and only heavyweight we've had?
Yes.
Like you said, there's not many of them around. So, yeah, interesting take from Miles and really nice guy. Enjoyed listening to him.
Yeah, me too. When he was quite impressed with Barnsley, I think, Miles, and I took him round as well.
Well, yeah, it's improving, mate. Mm. I have to say, I've enjoyed seeing it, the progression it's made, and it's just getting better and better. So if you ever stuck for help to do, you know, Barnes is the place to be.
It is.
It's not just a place to get hammered anymore.
Well, apparently Miles does want to come round, though, he wants to try and do an half a pint in every pub. He thinks he can do it.
Are we doing pub golf?
Well, I'm not doing it, because I'll be out after three holes.
I'm more than happy to do it full 18, Wayne.
Yeah, two or three said that now, they want to come round, don't they? So yeah. We'll get that in.
Hey, we'll have to get them all at once. That could be carnage.
God, I'm busy that night. I'm babysitting.
Oh, well. Well, just before we get started, don't forget you can support the show. If you follow us, Linktree, on all the socials, you can either buy Mark a coffee or me a pint. You can buy a T-shirt and look as cool as me and Shecky. But that being said, let's get Miles in.
Let's do it, buddy.
I was literally chatting to Mark earlier. I said, I've never seen one drunk idiot in my village. When I try to explain to people, when it's like what my village is like, I've never seen one drunk idiot outside co-op, can of beer in his hand, about 11 o'clock in the morning, just stumbling about. And I thought, fucking hell, seeing it now. And then one of my mates went, that's Gazza, Paul Gascoigne.
Oh, wait.
My village drunk idiot's Paul Gascoigne, man. I'm sorry for that. Cheers with that.
It's too posh for us, isn't it, Miles?
Yeah, we can't top that, can we?
You're from Grantham, though, aren't you, mate?
Mm. Yeah, Grantham, 24 years. I mean, that's not worth much.
When I told Scarf you were coming on and he told you your name, he says, he sounds like a Tory MP.
He didn't know you were going to tell him that.
I had to get it in, mate. But yeah, it's good to see you, mate. Thank you for coming across to see us. What are you doing now, then, mate?
I mean, boxing-wise, I coach down at a gym. I'm not fighting anymore. Down a gym called Urban Cobras, Leicester. If anyone in the Midlands wants to go down a boxing gym with the right environment, definitely get down to Urban Cobras. Craig Baig is a guy I speak to. We'll talk about more in a bit. But work-wise, I mean, the easiest way to describe it, I'm sort of a prison officer at a young offender's place.
Respect for that, mate.
Yeah.
I bet that's interesting.
I love it, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, it's called an STC. It's not a Young Offenders Institute. It's called an STC. But it's, the lads, they're nice lads. It's a good one. It's a good place to work for me. I enjoy it.
You've got to be some kind of strong person to work in that, mate. I do respect people in that. It must be really hard.
You've got to be a certain personality type, definitely. It's not a job for everyone. But if you have got the right personality for it, it's not work.
Yeah, I suppose so, mate. It's good to see that, mate. But you did a bit of bailiffing and all, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, mate. Paul Butlin.
What a guy. What a guy Paul is. When's he going to come on?
Say again.
When's he coming on? He needs to come on.
I'll have a word. Paul, if you're listening, mate, get yourself down here. But yeah, phenomenal mates with Paul. I met Paul on boxing circuits, to be fair. He got me and a guy called Josh Qualey on for when he fought Joshua. So I started sparring him for that. Ended up sort of talking, vibing. Ended up going down his gym. He taught me no end. Ended up really good mates with him after. And now we're little man children that play Call of Duty together.
I can't imagine you both doing that, but our life is, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, believe me, mate. No, I love Paul to bits, mate. I've got all the time in the world for him.
But who's best at Call of Duty?
No, I'm taking that crap. I'll have him down. He'll beat me in a ring, but I'll beat him in as a digital soldier.
A digital soldier. Yeah, but he's a great guy, he's Paul, isn't he? And I've got a lot of respect for his career. And it's nice to know he's doing well, mate.
No, he's doing really well. And he's working hard for it. He's what he deserves, everything he's got.
Is he still bear lifting now?
Yeah.
Did you have any problems bear lifting, mate? Did you enjoy it or... Maybe some characters?
Paul will tell you, mate, I had the hardest luck with bear lifting because I went self-employed sort of like 3 weeks prior to COVID. So I couldn't get a government grant I couldn't get furlough. So I had to knock it on the head and get a job sort of frontline working with people. And then I ended up just chopping and changing jobs and I'm ending up where I am now. But I could have been good at it, but I only had like 3 weeks there. But even in them 3 weeks, mate, I've had like little druggies ringing head office saying, if this guy doesn't leave, he's getting stabbed. You have people coming, knocking your wing mirrors about in your van, been rugby tackled down gardens. That was like 3 weeks on the job, mate. So, I mean, Paul's got 10 times more stories than I have because, mate, he'll have a row with anyone if they have it.
Quite as a mouth, though, in public, isn't he? And all they say he's like a real nice guy, don't they?
Paul, genuinely, I can't speak highly enough of him. I've got all the time in the world for him. He's a lovely guy. You look at him, you think he's going to like eat your children or something. But looks like a scary guy, doesn't he? But he's, mate, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and he'd do anything for anyone. So I've got all the time in the world for him.
It's like you, though, mate. I won't mess with him. I won't mess with you either, pal, to be honest. If Alt kicks off, Scarf is going to go first, yeah?
Mate, my fitness. Oh, wow. Boxing fitness now, I'll be dangerous for about 12 seconds. And you're laughing.
Yeah, so like you said, mate, 12 fights in total.
Yeah.
You know, as always, as a journeyman, a lot of them were us, weren't they? Who we were fighting, in with the best. And we'll talk a bit about your debut, mate. Remember about Louis Darling?
Yeah, so I'm not here to draw anyone out. I'm not here to make any sort of waves. No. But you know, a lot of my fights were scored as a zero. But I think a lot of people argue what the actual score was. Louis Darling is a nice guy. I've got nothing against him. But I didn't lose that fight.
Right.
It was... That's partly a way I got offered it two days' notice. It was his comeback fight. He lost his old man. He sold a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
I think it was somewhere in Tottenham. Some leisure.
It was Tottenham, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good fight. I mean, you know, we both landed shots. His face looked a lot more messed up than mine at the end of the fight. I was a lot less out of breath than he was after the fight. And I got 40-36 on 4 threes.
Didn't get around then.
No.
Hmm.
But it is what it is, mate. I know what a crack is when I'm going to these fights. Mm. But that's the one thing I always said is, I didn't really train. I didn't train at all. But no one's walking on me. I'm not going there to sit down for anyone. I'll give you a fight.
Yeah, and that's what I like to see, mate.
Just wanted to, I just found that quite interesting. You said that you got like 2 days notice for your debut.
Mm.
I'm just wondering why that is. What were your plans before that? But
so how it was set up was I said to Isham, I went pro with Isham Pickering.
Mm.
Lovely guy. He did a lot for me as well. But I said to him, put me in with anyone. I'm not interested in sort of getting looked after and being some sort of prospect. I want to see in British standards where I'm sat.
Yeah.
So you tell me when I'm going to get a call. You tell me when and where I need to be. And I'm telling you straight facts. I'll be ready for it. So I think I kind of accidentally fell into the away fighter road just by having that conversation with him.
Yeah.
So like I say, I was in the gym. I was doing what I needed to do. I was getting good sparring. I was sparring Cash Ali.
Mm.
Yeah, he's doing great at the moment. I've got I'll show you text off Cash, mate. He said, bit of training, bit of fitness, you'd be a problem for anyone. Because I had some phenomenal rounds with him. It's a shame as well, because, I mean, obviously he's famous for biting David Price.
Yeah, he is.
He is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. We both lost our dads at similar sort of times. And what was he saying? I just remember having that conversation with him that boxing was him and his dad's thing and boxing was mine and my dad's thing. And
right.
We sort of really gelled off that. And he was never a dick in sparring. We had hard sparring rounds, but if it was getting one-sided and getting a bit silly, you'd always back off and go back to working on boxing. He's not a dick at all like that. As the same in fights, and he's the most polite, respectful, humble, everything you want out of a boxing personality that you want children to aspire to and whatever else. Cash has got that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, nerves got to his head on a big platform and now he's famous for biting someone.
And you know what? Build up to that fight, you know, I were really into that fight when it, because the build up on the press conference, Cash fancied it so much, didn't he?
Yeah, and I remember watching it live, like, you know, he's such a nice guy and whatever else. I was with my ex-partner at the time and her family. Sat around this living room, I'm watching him bite David Price, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, you could see it, though. You could not deny it. It was live when it showed your bite mark on his stomach.
Yeah, 100%.
It was like, oh, what are you doing?
And you got like Tony Bell, you're absolutely ripping into him on a commentary. Mm. I thought, yeah, you've not rose to the occasion there, pal.
No, but listen, mate, sometimes we'll have a breaking point, and let's hope that's not his defining moment, and he can come back from that.
He will come back. He's, like I say, he's too much of a nice personality not to.
And say, I was always a David Price fan, like, but I want one of them people who jumped on bandwagon when Cash did that. She didn't know what's going through people's mind at that time. And
no. And let's be fair, mate, it's the fight game.
Yeah, and everybody makes mistakes.
People resort to fighting as well, don't they?
And then we'll move on to your next two fights. There's a bit of a link here, mate, because like I said, you must have liked it down Glasgow. You did two in a row down Glasgow,
fucking
didn't you?
Oh, mate, Christ. Like's a bit of a stretch. I remember I booked half a day off work, one of them. I don't know if it was Jay McFarlane. Or
yeah,
Jay,
that was your first one, mate.
I'm sure it was Jay then. I boxed him on a Friday and I worked full time. So my day that day was get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, drive from Leicester to Derby, work from 7 till 12, finish at 12, go to Newark with all my kit in my boot, pick Isham up. And then I drove to Glasgow, boxed Jay at like 10:30 at night, got paid, got sorted, got changed, got wherever else by about 11:30, and then got back about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was finished, mate.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And let's be fair, mate, Jay's not going to give anyone an easy night, is he?
No, he won't. You were a bit of a tough nut, wasn't he, like?
Mate, me and Jay had a good scrap, but I was absolutely shot. And then, yeah, the one after that was... Were they in a row, were they?
Yeah, after each other, yeah.
Oh, so it must have been Jay and then David.
Yeah, you fought McFarlane, and then you went on to fight David.
Straight after?
Yeah.
Christ, I'm glad you looked. I haven't got a clue. I just remember getting punched a lot.
That must have been the first time I've got something correct, mate. But I'm sure we went and fought in Glasgow after with Jameson. What a guy Jameson is.
David Jameson, I mean, I spoke to you about him earlier, touched on it. I've got such a love-hate for David Jameson. Love, because you really can't fault the guy. Genuinely, he's exactly what I spoke about Cash. He's everything that you want from boxing. He's so dedicated to it. He grafts. He does everything right. And he's really trying to set a long-term goal of achieving rather than just reaching financial goals and whatever else. He really wants to do well. And he's a great personality for the sport. But I hate the guy because, he's so fit. And he uppercutted me that much in the fourth round. I had to have my nose cauterized. And from that, yeah, I had to have my nose cauterized. And I snore now.
Oh. So
he's given me a little lifelong frustration.
Yeah, but
David Jameson's a lovely guy, mate. Can't fault him. He's doing really well at the moment. It's great to see, mate. It's an honour to share the ring with guys like that.
It's nice seeing back because I know, like, he stepped in, didn't he, at short notice in November and he got his jaw brought, didn't he?
Yeah.
Really bad. And what a tough nut. And I messed him a couple of times since. And as soon as I mention him, oh, big Miles, make sure you pass your best on from me.
Yeah, but that's the kind of guy he is, mate. Like I say, utmost respect. as soon as the fight's finished, he'll be straight over like, yeah, I'm really grateful for you coming over. Thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. He's got no interest in sort of having his little moment of fame, whatever else.
Mm.
His priority is thanking the people that are making it possible. So I've got the utmost respect for him.
Did you think he won your best, you thought?
With David Jameson?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, the reason I was so shocked by him as well is because on licensed circuits, I was fighting sort of biggest and best and heavyweights. And Jameson fluctuates between cruiser and heavy.
Yeah.
So I walk in this Glasgow snobby posh hotel with like a little Lamborghini competition. And I see this little ginger guy with a broken nose and a little beard. And I thought, easy night here. Nice little payday. And then even when the fight started, mate, to be fair, we had, I think he was just setting pace and sort of setting traps and seeing what I was going to do. So he was only really touching. He chucked the odd right hand out, but you'd see it coming because he was just touching, touch, just classic boxing, stick and move, touch, touch, bang, head and body, just working, seeing where I'm going, seeing what I'm doing. So I didurn't think much of him. And he come in for a little flurry in the second round, and I tucked up, held it. As soon as he stopped punching, I gave him the dirtiest left up to the body. And I saw him wince, and I saw him crumble a little bit. Like, obviously,
yeah.
Like he had to fight to stay up.
Mm.
I thought, you're finished, mate. I'm on this. So I absolutely jumped on him, went silly on him, completely forgetting I've not trained at all for this fight. I've not got the cardio to do what I'm doing. And after about 40 seconds of trying to take this guy's head off and having absolutely zero success, I was finished. You know, when you're properly like mouth open, done. And he's still looking quite fresh. And then the bell went. I went back into the corner. I've got zero cardio, done zero strength for conditioning, zero hip workouts. A minute goes by in the corner. He comes out, sort of bouncing on his feet, nice and lively. I'm still, I'm done. So like I say, mate, the last two rounds, this guy was punching me for fun. Great pressure, kept his range and his proxemics, absolutely brilliant. And was hitting me with some fucking dirty shots, excuse my language.
Yeah, but respect though, mate, you got through that, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I finished stood up. There's not a lot of people that can sort of get me down and keep me down, to be fair. But yeah, the last two rounds, because of me trying to capitalize on a body shot, huge learning curve that was.
Sometimes you get that money shot and you think, this is my time.
I had 6 minutes of learning the hard way then, though, trust me.
Definitely. And then, not in Glasgow, you got your big win, mate, against a Glaswegian.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, it looked like all these Scottish guys, didn't
I? Yeah, three in a row.
Was that Jamie Anderson?
Yeah, Jamie Anderson.
So that fight then, that would have been, yeah. I told you, David Jameson uppercutted my nose for a laugh, mate. He was giving me them little Eubank sort of dip, throw the uppercut, throw multiple of them. I just remember I couldn't get away from that uppercut. So when I fought Jamie Anderson, my nose had obviously been burnt up and trying to heal, but it'd been 8 days. I fought Jamie on the Friday. So it would have been David Jameson on the Friday, the 1st of March. So then the following Saturday, because you've got to wait a week at least. So yeah, I boxed Jamie Anderson on the Saturday then. It would have been the 8th of March. And my nose, mate. So he come out quite heavy-handed. Sort of wanted to set my head off early doors. And missed a lot of shots. But then he just caught one little clean little straight down the pipe, right hand, square on my nose. And I kind of backed away from it, saw it coming, but not enough to get rid of it. So it didn't have full impact, but it was enough to pop my nose straight away first round. I thought, here we go. So I can't breathe out my nose now. We're like a minute into the first round. I've got a full fight to go, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't do this. So I started getting lively, jumping around on my feet, plenty of range, boxed him at range, like a little... sort of imagine like a BTEC fat, white, bold Prince Nazim. That's not as good, not as slick, but that kind of style is what I was going for. Keep it range, in and out.
You could move about though, mate, you could.
Yeah, and I think that was a lot of what people didn't expect when they fought me. They come plodding towards me and then think, hang on a minute, he's not there anymore. I look like I'm going to be like a little hook monster, just plod forward and throw these bangs and tuck up like a Butterbean style, but I'm not. I like being in and out of my feet. So I did that with Jamie Anderson and did that for two rounds and I stopped him in the third. And I don't know, I spoke to you about it before. That's what's infuriating for me about boxing circuits on any level, amateur, pro, online, anywhere, is I lost the first two. The fight's on YouTube. Anyone can go watch it. My name and his name versus. You'll see I spanked this kiddie for two rounds. I stopped him in the third. And I lost the first two rounds on points. So if I had gone the distance, that's just another zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating, mate, isn't it? I mean, but it's always good to, I always like to talk about a W on records, and I'm glad you got one, mate, to talk about.
Yeah, it's not, it was nice. It was by a stoppage as well. Coincidentally, yeah. Obviously the only fight I won it by a stoppage, and I had Peter and Hugh Fury ringside. So I had a nice little claim to fame, people watching.
Mm.
Obviously straight over, out of condition, completely out of shape. I was like, how do you think of box?
No Tyson there then?
No, he was supposed to be there, apparently. That's what Peter said.
Oh.
But he was obviously otherwise engaged with something. I can imagine he's quite a busy man.
Mm, well, I've heard he's got one of our T-shirts for you now, hasn't he?
Supposedly got a Stainforth Chuck Norris one, hasn't he?
He loved it, though. I showed him Stainforth Chuck Norris T-shirt. He said he was loving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm just gutted that, Miles ain't still boxing, so we could have done a cracker for you, mate. We could have done an absolute peach, mate. So that's a good win, mate, there, mate. It's good to get that one on. And then we'll move on to a kid called David Abraham.
Dave Abraham. I boxed him at York Hall, Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dave beat me.
Yeah.
He was a fair and square win, but like, I ain't really got a lot of time for Dave.
He didn't take it very well, did he?
No. So, as I spoke about David Jameson, as soon as the fight's over, mate, he straight away really appreciated the opportunity. Thanks for coming, blah, blah, blah. He's that guy. And that's kind of what you... Not expect, but you know, that's sort of your general etiquette of, I'm here to help you out. I'm not coming to lose, but I'm taking it short notice. You're the one who's trained for it. You're the one who's, I'm just a last minute guy. I don't know anything about you. Mm. You've got all your home crowd here. I'm doing you a favor. And we had a good fight. He landed a lot of shots. Mate, what is he, like 6'5", 22 stone? He's a monster. And it's very rare someone makes me look small.
Yeah.
But he did. And he was one of them, like, he's trying to fucking stare me out like Ivan Drago before the fight. I'm like, we're at Bethnal Green. Shut up, you silly guy, mate. And as soon as the fight's over, the first thing he wanted to say to me was, like, I nearly stopped you then. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You couldn't behave yourself. So, like I say, he put something nice on Facebook afterwards, but on the night, I saw his true colours. Didn't really rate that, didn't really respect that.
No, it's not nice, that, mate, is it? But hopefully, like, at least put something afterwards that on Facebook, so a little bit redeeming features there.
Yeah,
mate.
And to be fair, mate, I've got a lovely photo with him.
Yeah.
I'll send you it.
Yeah, we'll have that one, mate. We'll add it to collection when it finally gets built.
Yeah. That is nice, man. I've got it up in my living room as well.
So... I'm going to go on to the next one here because I think Scarfield like this, mate.
Go on.
Right, you had Ryan Charles, didn't you?
Oh, no. Yeah, I did, yeah. Can't believe it.
Who's Ryan Charles?
Well, the reason I think you'll like Ryan Charles, Scarf, is he had a cracking nickname.
All right.
I know what Miles is going to say after, but his nickname was Run Him Over.
Oh, nice.
Scar couldn't run a bath, mate.
Run Him Over. That's good.
But it's a good nickname, though, mate, to come into.
Do you know what? I'm not here to draw it. Like I say, I'm not here to talk crap about anyone. He did win. He won fair and square. And he won by a stoppage. I couldn't believe it. I don't know how much I said. I spoke to Mark about this. I should not have passed that medical. I'd had about 5 beers that morning because I was told the fight was cancelled. Now I got another phone call off Ish saying it's back on. Do you still want it? I got kind of stuck. Yeah. You're all right, yeah. So he came and picked me up, went down there, and I'm on the way from Grantham now to Bethnal Green, southbound towards London on the A1. I can feel all this Stella just oozing out of me. I'm like, oh, fuck, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Get down there, past the medical. I'm in the change rooms then. All I wanted was a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you... Yeah, I felt horrible. Give me a beanbag and a fucking rom-com, mate. I would have been well away. Not in Bethnal Green waiting to fight. And come out. I don't even know if it was the first or second. I don't even know what happened, mate. But literally, I'm boxing quite nice. And then just last minute, I see this little right hand, straight through the middle. A little bit like a white flash happened. And then all of a sudden I'm on my knees, mate. What's going off here? So I got up, about 7 or 8 count. Ref said, you're all right. I said, yeah. I said, put my hands up. I said, you're all right to continue. I said, yeah. And he waved it off. I'm like,
that's weird.
That stuff like that, it's so infuriating. Because, I mean, look, my other stoppage loss was Lucian Atana. If you look at the Ryan Charles loss, like, I've lost fair and square plenty of fights. I've got no ego about that. But Ryan Charles, mate, I did not lose that fight by stoppage. And it's infuriating because he's a London-based kid. I don't know whereabouts. But I'm a Leicester lad that took it at short notice. Well, a day's notice, realistically. Fight was back on that morning. And you just think, mate, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
When you lose like that, the ref's there, he's got 150 people, and it's me and Ish. We turn up in a little sit down. What are we doing?
There's nothing you can do about it, mate. Just go take it on the chin, it hurts.
But it's frustrating because that's how, you know, I'm doing it to get a livelihood. I'm doing it to save money and get in a better spot. So when you get stopped, you have to be signed off by a doctor and you can't box for 28 days, depending on how bad the stoppage was and whatever else, but it's a minimum 28 days. And like I say, you know, March 2018, for example, or 2019, whatever it was, I was out for 3 times in a month. So I was busy, do you know what I mean? So getting that stoppage loss and on my record, that was never nice. But then also I can't box 28 days. It was awful.
Yeah, frustrating.
But yeah, Ryan Charles, man, couldn't believe I got a stoppage loss to him because he's a nice kid. I've got nothing against him. But he's not a knockout artist. He is not run him over.
Yeah. He is back at, you know, next month. He's coming back.
Oh, yeah, wish him all the best, mate.
Yeah.
He can box. Let's face facts.
I don't think his boxing's 2019. It just, the rumours, I'm sure he's fighting next month. Well, so it's a big, you know what I mean? That's
why. Does anyone know why he stopped? Because he got a couple of losses after me, didn't he? I think was he 4-0 or 4-1 or something when he fought me? I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
He had no knockouts. I was his first stoppage, which again, even more.
He run you over, didn't he?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, obviously. He ran you over, yeah.
He wants to get that in there.
Come run a bath. Love it. Yeah, Jesus. Well, wish him all the best in his comeback anyway next month. If it's true.
Same, man. Like I
if it's true.
I've got no hard feelings about it.
And then, this is my favourite fact I've been wanting to ask you about. Cracking journeyman, still going now, Mr. Phil Williams.
Oh, mate, Phil. So we spoke just before we jumped on here about sort of respect and who you got respect for in boxing and stuff. And everyone's got their own opinions. Like, you know, your Furies, your Joshuas, all these famous guys that live and breathe the gym, you really can't fault them. They deserve the respect that they get. But next to that, below me, is all the away guys that don't get a shout out. And Phil Williams, mate, he's a nurse, full-time employed.
I didn't know he were a nurse, you know.
Yeah, he's NHS. So he works silly hours, you know, especially during COVID and pandemic and stuff. What he's had to, he would have seen some stuff.
Really?
Some silly hours, and he would have been a very stretched job. He's a family man. He's not massive. He's probably like 15 and a half stone, 6'1", 6'2", maybe. Tough as nails, mate. And he's such a nice guy. He knows what the crack is, but he's same as me. He'll jump in with absolutely anyone, absolutely any notice. He took over in the gym, do what he needs to. But I mean, he's fought some huge names already, isn't he? He's had, you know, Johnny Fisher, I think he's had Alan Balabich, Kamal Sokolovsky. He's had a few.
Miles Newton.
Yeah, all the big boys. No, mate, he's been in with some phenomenal names and he's held his own and he really is. I've got the utmost respect for him to carry on doing what he's doing now. The stress of a lifestyle and everything, and keeping on top of work-life balance and gym and going to all these shows last minute, something that it wasn't sustainable for me. I couldn't do it.
I also think the heavier you are, you know what I mean, the harder it is to be a fighter in, week out. It becomes more dangerous if you get clocked on that chin.
Yeah, 100%. He's doing it at heavyweight, mate.
Yeah.
He's jumping, like, Lucian Atana, for an example. I know Phil's fought him. You got 15 and a half stone there against, like, 18 and a half, 7'1", lean, in shape, and trained for a fight. That's a dangerous kid. And Phil would do that every week. The guy's tough as nails, mate.
That's why I wanted you in, because not many of your big guys are about.
No.
It's tough as you get higher up. But he bet you on points, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was a close fight. It was one of them. Could have gone either way, but it was his own show. Taking nothing against him. He is tough. I didn't do a lot to him. I don't think he did a lot to me. But you know as well as I do, when you're in a way corner, you've got to take it to someone. And I couldn't with him. So it was, you know, probably a close fight. But
well, pass his best on from him, because it'd be good. We'd love to get him on in the future.
But no, yeah, no, I will. Phil was a phenomenal lad.
Yeah, and I didn't know he was a nurse, so, you know what I mean? It must be tough, like you said, because we all know
how he juggles what he does, genuinely. I couldn't. That's what, yeah, that's fundamentally what I was acting. Wasn't feeling it. Completely fell out of love with boxing. Didn't like it. Couldn't find a passion in it. It was just such a chore trying to maintain work, gym, and fighting at the weekend. You're giving up your life. You're giving up holidays, social cracks, whatever else, to go and get absolutely filled in by strangers. Do you know what I mean? To get booed coming out. It's, mate, it's a lot. It's a hard lifestyle to sustain. And for how he's done that, I can't do it. I'm telling you facts. It's phenomenal what he does.
And we said as well, didn't we, not many stop him, is there?
No.
Not many stop him.
You know, mate, Phil's tough as nails. You can catch him, but he'll take it. He's got chin and half on him. Very, very good.
Good lad. I'm so glad we mentioned Phil. First time mentioned, I think, on show. So I'm glad about that. Mm. And then you went in against Robin Dupree, were it?
Yeah, Robin Dupree, yeah. I think he was a cruiser and he went up. No offence to him. It wasn't really a memorable fight for me. Mm. It was that was a very day in the office for a journeyman fight, that was for me.
You see, the only reason I mentioned him was because his two losses were against Chris Bellum-Smith, who's doing really well now.
Yeah, solid fighter.
Solid fighter. And also a one of, well, I also like to watch, well, Luke Watkins was only lost against Best. There is two losses. So he's only lost against the Best. And I wonder if, I just wanted to mention him just to see if you thought about him.
No, I'll be honest. I'm not taking anything away from his ability. Because, you know, you two will both know it's styles that make fights. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a really uncomfortable style for him. And I don't think I'm anything that he expected. So, you know, if we had a rematch, he might have done better and whatever else, or I might have done. But I think he really struggled getting around, like, how's this big, slow-looking guy moving quick and keeping me at range? He's another, if you're being completely transparent, I don't think I deserved a no against him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did particularly well. I came out of that fight completely unscathed, barely out of breath.
That's credit to you.
Yeah, well, again, I hate saying stuff like that because I sound like I'm taking something away from someone who's obviously worked hard and jumped in the ring and whatever else, but yeah, I've got to give myself credit where due. There's a lot of O's on my record in unlicensed and pro that shouldn't be O's.
And like you said, you went in a few runs, mate, where you were fighting people and they're all undefeated and stuff like that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, some of them that we've mentioned, I mean, I've been spanked fair and square.
I'm not sure if Robin's still going.
Do you know what, mate? He's one of them names that's gone completely under the radar for me.
Yeah.
I boxed him and I've never heard or seen anything since.
Scarf is a computer, man. You can look him up, see if he's going. But I just, like I said, I don't want to mention it because, like I said, it's them two losses, two good kids to be in with that.
Well, Chris Bellum-Smith, he's cool. He's a
great guy, you know, and all.
Cruiser.
Yeah.
Well, he's south. He's Bournemouth based. And I don't know what the background is, but I know a guy that used to train me there, Mark Plunkett. I'd like to talk about him at some point. But I think he knows Chris Bellum-Smith, and they're on a bit of a social basis. So I knew who Chris Bellum-Smith was before he was anything that recognise it is now.
He's doing really well. Mm. And then we'll just go on to your last fight, mate. I know it wasn't a great one for you, was it? But it can be your last fight, much about it.
What, Lucian Atana?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got told I was fighting this kid. I think he was undefeated when I fought him. Wasn't feeling that at all. We're in a day and age now where we can talk about headspaces and stuff. And that whole day building up to that, I mean, weeks before, I was so done with boxing. Once I sat down for him, because I don't want to discredit myself like that, but I was speaking to, you must have heard of Darren Snow.
Yeah.
I boxed Darren on a licensed circuit, and he knows Mark Bennett as well. They're all in with that crowd. And I saw Snow it at your call. And he said, oh, fucking, I didn't know you were here, and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I've got a Lucian Atana. I said, yeah, he's a big boy. Chatting about it a bit. I said, what do you reckon? I said, mate, I don't think it's going to go two rounds, to be honest. Just, I wasn't feeling it at all. And I remember the bell went. You know, you're so desensitised to it. I'm like, I just can't. I wasn't just, the headspace I was in, sort of hindsight, I should never have gone in there. Because the mindset I was in, I could have got seriously hurt. But I was walking to the ring like, I can't be arsed with this. I think one guy said to me walking in, he was like, yeah, you know what job you got to do, don't you? I was like, shut the fuck off. And I got in there, I started pouring this jab out. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I was pouring this jab out, looking at this Ivan Drago looking angry 7'1", 18 stone guy.
Some monsters at that division, isn't there? Monsters.
Google pictures of him and his management and quarter team and stuff. He looks like he's stood with a bunch of children. Looks like Snow White, mate, honestly. Like an angry, a big, bold, angry Snow White. They just look like kids next to him. But yeah, I was pouring this jab out thinking, I can remember pouring a jab out thinking, I can't be arsed. It was just a horrible mindset to be in. I caught him with the left hook and I thought, hey, up, that'll do. And then started pouring a jab again, waiting for his shots to come in, thinking, oh, I can't be arsed. So we had a little exchange. He caught me with a shot. And then he just sort of piled on me and he broke my rib. Mm. But yeah, that was me done. And that was boxing done. But it's annoying because, mate, boxing's such a toxic relationship. I hate nights like that. And when I talk about it, it's so annoying to remember the sort of headspaces and whatever else. Because I know I'm capable of doing so much better.
Mm.
And I kind of, even though I'm sort of finished... In my head, I'm finished with boxing. You never say never. But I much prefer the coaching side of it and seeing lads come on and developing lads and sort of reliving it through them sort of thing. But I always think, like, you, what if? What can I say? Yeah, I'm 31. I've still got a good sort of 5-6 years if I wanted to do something. And I don't want my last fight to be that story. Do you know what I mean?
But people know me. I mean, I've got a lot of respect and that's why I contacted you, mate. Some of them monsters you went in with should be very proud.
Yeah, I am. I appreciate that massively, but it's more just the, I don't want that to be where the story ends.
Yeah.
I'm capable of so much more, and I know that. People disagree, agree, whatever else, but I know in my head I could do a lot better than what anyone's seen. And that was just circumstantial.
A lot more on the road, you could have done a lot better though, mate, and we know that, and that's why we're here.
Oh, mate, I had Isham breathing down my neck. Isham used to tell me I should fight Dillian White before he got big. And I knew from day one, mate, if I fought Dillian White 10 times, I'm taking 10 losses. I've got no ego about that. But Isham always fancied me like British champion level. I'm thinking, are you having a laugh? No chance.
So let's have a talk about Isham then.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's have a talk about the guy.
So I mean, the boxing thing, we'll get onto the... We can go in detail as much as you want, but I used to live with my dad in a little village called Flinton. It was like a hop, skip and a jump outside of Newark where Isham's based. So I ended up hopping down Isham's gym. And you just gel with a guy. For what he's achieved and who he is, he's very, very down to earth. He's just one of the boys. You can walk in and talk to him, but then you look on Google, he's Ingalls trained, sparred Nazim and Kell Brook, and he's British, European and Commonwealth achieved... what loads of people dream of. He's a world title contender. I could bring him now and just say, do you want coffee and we'll go for one and whatever else. So it was nice to have that little support. And unfortunately, 2016, about a year and a half before I turned pro, lost my dad. And Isham was one of them guys. He was just there. He was on it. I used to go and train down his gym 3 or 4 times a week. When my dad passed, he never charged me a penny for it. I'll just chill in the gym with him. More time, we'll just chat and go for a coffee afterwards. So he's a good little support network to have. So I ended up going pro circuits with him and doing a similar sort of thing. We're just up and down the country, filling people in. And getting filled in.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy, down-to-earth guy. I mean, I message him from time to time and you can guarantee he'll always get back to you. And if
100%.
Yeah.
He wants the best out of people in his circles. You can't really fault that from a coaching perspective.
He's got one at Best. Well, he had one at Best in his books, and all the new Mitchell Smith.
Oh, Mitch, mate. Yeah, I've done more body sparring rounds with Mitch than I don't know what.
Is he a tough lad?
He's tougher than tough, mate.
Yeah, I've imagined that.
I can bang Mitch like a heavyweight. I did. And he'll take it. I mean, when I spoke to Mitch last, I've not spoke to him in years, mate, but obviously I hope he's doing well.
He is doing well, I think,
like 74 fights or something, 64 fights or something silly. Phenomenal journeyman. Tough as nails. But in the gym, everything is just neat, exactly how it should be. And in the nicest way possible, I think he was built to be a journeyman because he's, phenomenal at surviving. You could put him in there with the best in the world. He's like, he's not going to get hurt. He knows how to get away and get rid and keep his range and just constantly get rid of people to not take punishment. Same as like Kev McCauley.
Oh, what a
people
guy.
People like that, yeah. Love Kev. So, Mitch is one of them. He's phenomenal at craft and not taking punishment.
Yeah, he's coming on, is Mitch, but obviously it's getting him. He said he'd come down from Lincoln to see us, but Ishan will put us in touch with him. Mm. And I'm sure he'll be coming on very soon. He'll be coming on.
I hope so, man.
Can we just go back to, because you were saying leading up to your last fight that you were done with boxing.
Mm.
How long had that been coming? What was your mindset? What had led to that? Because
so, like, obviously, after the Louis Darling fight, that was the first fight. And for me, I won that fight. I'm not bitter about it. I've lost plenty of fights fair and square on some of them pro fights. But Louis, I thought I won. And it changed my mindset. I was like, do you know what? Fuck it. Let's just get a payday. Let's put myself in a good spot, money-wise. Save up, buy a place, which is exactly what I did. I just went on road. And you quickly learn, like I said to you, when you're working full-time, and then you're trying to juggle training, you're trying to juggle social life, and you're giving up weekends to go to a place you've never been before, get booed by a few hundred people, get spanked, and then leave a bit like, you filled in, nose, quarter eyes, broken ribs, whatever else. It's very easy to fall out of love. It's not an enjoyable experience. After the Robin Dupree sort of Phil Williams type era, three or four fights before I stopped boxing, it was a chore.
Yeah.
But likewise, when you're getting, the most I got paid was like $1,500 for 6 threes. That's a lot of money, man. And, I had three fights in a month, month. It's hard to, it's hard work. Yes, it's deflating, whatever else, but I'm getting silly money for it. I'm tucking a lot away. I'm getting myself in a good spot. So I think it was more just when I got in a good spot, I was just sick of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I got to that point myself. But again, that's wrong environment. If you have the right structure and the right environment, you enjoy things a lot more, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So while we're at that then, mate, could you tell us about Mark?
Oh, what, Mark Plunkett?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mark, it's frustrating because, I don't even think I've had like a proper conversation with Mark about how in-depth he helped me. So I told you I was NFA homeless, living in a mate's garage.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was a horrible time, mate. We all go through it. I've had a better life than most, but everyone experiences their own little hardship at some point. That was mine. I ended up moving down to Bournemouth. I lost my dad and my stepmom and I live with them. So I ended up, when they died, lost the house, lived in a mate's garage. And my brother lives in Bournemouth and he took me in down there. So I got the little family life, but I had nothing to do. There was nothing there. So obviously straight down the boxing gym, went down there. I want to make a bit of cash. Can you get me some fights and blah, blah, blah. And the owner, Mark Plunkett was a boxing trainer down there, but there was an owner, Jimmy someone. I can't remember what the gym was called, but Mark set up his own gym now, Body Snatchers. And mate, the guy was just, he's so helpful and he's so nice. He's made the whole boxing class, he made like a little proper little family environment. They go out for food and they do stuff and you get such a nice sense of just good people there. And Mark's made all of that. And he's got his own gym now, Body Snatchers, that's doing really well. It's him and his son that run it. His son's called Mark as well, MJ. But he deserves every bit of success he gets. He got me out of such a tough spot. I don't really think I've told him in detail how much. I mean, I said thank you and whatever else. We've had our chats. But obviously, I lost dad, stepmom. I was having a horrible time. And Mark was like a huge fundamental factor to getting me back on sort of a good path and getting my head straight. Got me back in a routine, got me fights, got my, you know, got my little success back. Taught me a lot of new skills of boxing. You got me the right sort of training environment and developed me massively as a boxer. So he was obviously a huge factor to me turning pro because I'd got this new ability and I was doing well and whatever else. But getting the mindset right, he got me out of a massive rut. And I will forever be grateful to Mark Plunkett for that.
Yeah, it's good. That's nice to hear that, mate.
Anyone in the Dorset area, if you want to go boxing, do it the right way. It's Body Snatchers Gym. Mark Plunkett is the guy you're after.
It's a cool name, that, as well, isn't it?
It's a Radiohead song.
Is it?
Yeah. We had the same nickname as well. Complete coincidence.
Was that your nickname?
No, he was an amateur boxer, and he was One Punch Plunkett.
All right.
I was One Punch Willington. I didn't even realise.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant. I like that. I didn't know you had a nickname.
No, well, he calls me the tree because he said you just hit him and he didn't move.
we could have definitely done a good T-shirt, couldn't we, with a tree on?
Definitely, yeah.
We could have done the beauty miles.
But, that's a bit like me on bass, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Just stand still. Go anywhere.
Also, as well, come on, let's talk about Craig then, mate.
Oh, Craig Baeger, yeah. So he's where I'm at now. Him for me, he's basically the Leicester version of Mark Plunkett. I was already in a good head, you know, I'm sound now.
So you went from Bournemouth down to Leicester then, did you?
Yeah, so...
You went around a bit, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, my mate Dave Darrow. I'm sure he'll listen to this at some point. He's a...
He better download it. We need them downloads, don't we?
Yeah. Dave's a non-related brother to me. He's not blood relative, but I would value him as family.
Yeah, but you find that out as you get older, don't you?
Yeah, 100%, mate. I've got all the time in the world for the lad. So I moved down to Leicester with him, moved in with him and his dad, saved up with the boxing circuits and whatever else, bought my own place. And Dave put me in touch with Craig Baeger, who's got Urban Cobras down in Leicester.
I like that name as well.
Urban Cobras.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a shout out Urban Cobras, mate. All Defo. The fight team down there. So yeah, Craig is literally the Leicester Mark Plunkett. He's the Leicester version. All he ever wants is the best for lads. And he's the same, you know, after fight night, he'll be the first person that's got like four bottles of champagne reserved behind the bar and we'll make it special. The attention, the focus is all on the lads. He doesn't take any credit for what he does. And he deserves every bit of success he gets. He's a genuinely lovely guy. And he's made a fantastic gym. Urban Cobras is a lot. You can walk in there and you'll instantly feel like you've got friendly faces.
You need places like that, mate.
Yeah.
We've got one now with Johnny Musgrave opening one up. We mentioned him a couple of times. It's been down at Johnny's gym in Barnsley. And if anyone's around there, please go down to it because it's a great place. Just like Miles has said, we need places like this to bring the next generation through. And Urban Cobras sounds pretty cool, mate.
Yeah, it is. Well, if you're Leicester based, come say hello, definitely.
Do you go in there then, mate, regular Miles, or...?
What, Cobras?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult at the moment with the work pattern, because obviously boxing, like any boxing gym, you've got to be there at a set time for a set class. It's not just... You can't just walk in and expect a coach to be available. So it's... They're 6:30. If I'm working 15-hour shifts in Milton Keynes. So I'm out of the house 18 hours a day. So like 5:30 in the morning till 11 at night. And the class is 6:30 till 8:00. So it's very rare I can actually get down there now. But when I do have time, I'm there. If I'm on annual leave and whatever else, not picked up overtime or doing something, I'm there. More time. We're putting a show on May the 8th.
Mm.
If you're Leicester based, you're more than welcome. If you do want to come down, I'll definitely sort you out a couple of tickets as well.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep that in mind, mate.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out me, mate. You've got 2 tickets on me, 100%.
Oh, nice one, mate. Nice to know. So you are coaching still then, mate, yeah?
Yeah, I coach now, yeah, 100%.
Would you coach from the Cobras or have you got your own little...
No, I'm just with Cobras.
Yeah. Thought you were. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's Craig Beagie. Beagie's got me. He set me up down there. I mean, I'm not doing too much at the moment, but there is talks of turnovers and getting pro licenses and pro corners and seconds and stuff. So we'll see what happens. But no, at the moment we're unlicensed, Jim. We'll tick over, developing a few lads. It's giving lads structure, isn't it?
It most certainly is. It sounds like a good place to be. We need them, like I said. And yeah, like you said, one step at a time, carrying on doing what you're doing, mate. And hopefully we'll see a couple turn over pro soon.
Well, we never know. We'll see what happens.
We're seeing Big Miles in corner.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
I think we will do in future, mate. But one step at a time, and there's no rush. But I'm just glad you're still in that game.
I don't want to, it's like I say, I don't want to leave boxing circles, man. I've said to you before, it's such a little toxic relationship. It just seems to suck you back in. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave it behind. But I think, like I say, fighting years are done. But seeing lads come through, when you're in the corner, it's a lad's first fight. And you can see all them fight nerves and you're talking through like, straight shot, this is going to be your first round, that's going to be your second round, third round, we're going to step up, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And they get their arm raised at the end and they're absolutely jumping around like fucking nobody's business. you're like giving a four-year-old E-numbers, do you know what I mean? When they're jumping around like that. Best feeling in the world. We'll see what happens in the future. But the gym itself, Cobra's gym, is doing phenomenal. And you've got to give Beagie a shout out for that because he's done it all himself.
Yeah, definitely for that, mate. And from what I've heard, it's going to be coming on strong, and it's going to get stronger and stronger as it goes on, mate. And I'm just glad you're still involved. And I think a bit time you do leave it, ending it, mate, there'll be a few people there with knowledge passed on from yourself.
Well, mate, if I can pass on a bit of knowledge, I was never anything special in the boxing game. But if I can pass on a little bit of knowledge on, pacing rounds, setting traps and setting angles and doing things a bit more unconventionally, then I've done something well, haven't I?
You will do that, mate, 100%.
You can take a horse to water, can't you?
Yeah, but you will definitely do that, mate. I'm looking forward to see how it progresses over the years, mate. We'll definitely back you up and we'll definitely come down and see you.
I must admit, mate, what you guys are doing here as well, phenomenal little setup this is. Given I said to you before when you messaged, giving the away guys a little shout out, because you it's easy to follow someone famous, isn't it? Jump on bandwagons. But like I said to you before, mate, it's people like Phil Williams for me. Boxing's not going to carry on without people like Phil.
No, it needs guys like you.
For Phil, for me, is how he keeps going and doing what he's doing. But boxing wouldn't be where it is without people like Phil, and he never gets a shout out for stuff like that.
Well, he does today, and that's what we're here for, mate, to give them a voice, and we'll carry on doing it. We're not going nowhere. And
yeah, I love it, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, mate.
Oh, mate, thanks for having me down here, man. Yeah, I appreciate it massively.
Are you going to come down to the pub crawl then?
Oh, mate, if you want me to show you how to drink, I'll be there.
I'll go after.
Rubbing my hands at the thought.
Yeah, that's a date for the future. We'll do a podcast on that. We'll do a live feed with me getting drunk after three or four.
Check your last 2 hours and he'll be off home.
Love that. No, I'll be there, boys. I'll be there.
Nice one. Yeah, thanks a lot, mate.
All the best, mate, in the future, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Take care, boys.
The Journeyman Cave is produced by James Proud. Music by Ryan Carrier. Special thanks to Rhythmic Studios for hosting. All views expressed are of the guests only. The Journeyman Cave and host bear no responsibility for any opinions given. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at The Journeyman Cave.